Ahoy there, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with people living in cul-de-sacs and people with the coldest raps. Usually, it's a Venn diagram of just one circle, because that's where the real spitters are. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big fact and let's get no capping. I am your captain.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Do you agree with my assessment of where to find the best rappers?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Pusha T. Drake. The two best rappers because they beefed.
Two best rappers. I just started listening to the new season of Open Mike's new podcast, and, you know, I never really thought to look into his history, but Questlove, little Nepo baby.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's a really fun first episode.
His dad was Dwight D. Eisenhower?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Mm-hmm. Now he's just
when is Sasha going to finally release a mixtape? I forget which one. Was it Sasha or Malia that wore the Joey Badass shirt, and it was like a
the Pro Era one?
Yeah.
You know what? They don't do a lot to distinguish themselves. I don't remember which one's which off the top of my head. I do remember the more recent picture of one of the Obama daughters smoking a ciggy outside her house or something, and people were getting all... I assume that was the pro-era one.
I have to assume the older one is Sasha, because when Barack talks about them, it's always Sasha and Malia, Sasha. So I assume that's Malia? The first daughter.
You don't think he just does Malia and reverse Sasha. Alphabetical order?
Nah, I feel like he names the one that he knew first.
That he knew first, that he met first.
That he met first.
Okay, that makes sense to me. That still doesn't answer the question of which one's the pro-era one.
Oh, probably the older one, right? Because she was in her rebellious phase.
I thought you were saying just like timeline-wise, like 1999 or whatever, you know. That makes sense, though.
I wonder if they're going to try to launch political careers. They would definitely have like a pretty immediate voter base.
Yeah.
With their name.
Yeah, people really wanted Michelle to run.
Yeah.
They're like, I'll take Sasha. I'll take Malia. Heck, I'll take Bo if he's still around.
Bo? Oh, the dog?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, with these clowns that we have in Washington now, he'd probably do better than most of them.
Yeah. It'll be like one of those cities that has a dog as a mayor or whatever, but it's just like a national campaign.
Is that one of the later Air Bud movies after like they played all the sports? They were like, okay, let's do him running for president.
I don't think so, but, you know, the biggest game of all.
Yeah, you thought sports betting was a dirty racket. Let me tell you something about politics.
Hoo, boy. Anyways, what's been going on with you? What you been up to?
Not much. Do you want me to jump into media roundup?
Sure.
Yeah,
hey, buddy, yesterday... you do whatever you want. It's not about what I want.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that you give me the room to express myself on here.
If you want to do a new experimental corner where you just make poopy noises, that's fine with me.
Me, I'm keeping you on a tight leash. You've got to stay real segmented.
Ever since I shoehorned beer corner in, you were like, never again, Adrian. Stick to the basics.
Yesterday I went to see Taylor Swift's Eras Tours movie.
Oh, okay, cool.
Just kidding. I went to see Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm a dude.
Hey. Killers of the Flower Moon... Real bang for your buck, eh? Was that what you were hoping for? Is that what the main thing was?
Oh, because it's long.
It's 3.5 goddamn hours. Are you kidding me?
They flew by. Incredible really? Film.
Really? Yeah. Okay, cool.
I think I liked it more. I definitely liked it more than The Irishman. I was hooked. Leo's character is the most snivelly little worm of all time. Fucking
even more than Django?
Guy. Yeah.
Damn.
But also because it's based on a true story, and you could tell the reason Scorsese made it was because he, like, read that book, learned about that story, and was like, this motherfucker, I'm gonna put him on blast. You could tell he was pissed at this guy, and was like, I am gonna make him look like the biggest asshole ever.
I heard them, there's some pretty okay
know how evil he is.
Type 1 diabetic representation it.
Oh, yeah. The main character's wife, like, the main Osage woman in the film, is a diabetic, and she is... Apparently, she was one of the first...
Paul, a person with diabetes.
A diab, as we call them, for short. That's kind of like the short offensive thing. A bedic.
Yeah, exactly.
she was one of the first five people to ever receive insulin. It was like when it was an experimental drug.
Nice.
I've seen some controversy or like criticism of the film, especially with one of the main Osage contributors. He didn't say like he had a problem with the film, but he said, I wish the movie had been from the perspective of an Osage tribal member. And I think it would have been really cool if the film, like, it could have definitely taken place from her perspective, and it would have been like a horror film. It would have been insane.
Mm-hmm.
But the perspective we did get of Leo's character was also just incredibly disturbing.
So it was just from the villain's point of view?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think some people's critique is that like he comes off as like multidimensional, or even maybe as having some form of guilt. But I don't know. He came off so evil to me. I was not at all on his side.
All right.
But hey, maybe I'm just woker than those people who are like sympathizing with a white devil or whatever.
Ooh, yeah, that's probably it.
Great film. Would recommend. I think you would like it. I don't know how you feel about 3.5 hour movies, but...
I mean, for $5 on Cheap Movie Tuesday, I'm basically making money.
Because you're giving out handies for $10 in the bathroom.
Yeah.
At the movie theater. Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking up the movie on whendopee.com, and I'm going when it says to go, and I'm giving out handies in the bathroom.
$10 a pop. Can't get a better deal in Sacramento than Adrian's Cheap Movie Tuesday handies.
CMTHs.
Oh, yeah, and then I saw the 1975 Friday, and they put on a great show. They really backload their best songs. And they front load their most sleepy songs. So, you know, if you're going to go to this concert, like show up late, it's all right.
Okay. Do they play anything new?
I don't know. I've never listened to a song of theirs before I went to the concert.
It's all new to you.
It's all new to me.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else notable about the show? They do an encore?
No. It actually ended weirdly abruptly. As far as I could tell, like a song ended and the lights just came on and they left.
That's cool.
But also, I was pretty drunk at that point, so maybe there was
maybe
a lot
you blacked
more
lead up to it. Maybe lights went off on you, and then... That's cool.
What else? Do I have any other media roundup? I don't think so.
All right, movie and a concert. I'm into it.
The Eras Tour movie. I didn't get to see it, but there were a lot of adorable kids running around. With their dad being like, okay, we have everything we want. You guys put butter on your popcorn. And they're like, yeah, dad. And he's like, okay, well, let's go in now. When I finished with Killers of the Flower Moon, Izzy had sent me a screenshot of some person getting real upset in a DC like Facebook group about how there was too many kids at the Eras Tour movie. And she wanted one of those experiences where it was all adults and they were dancing together.
She wanted adults dancing together, but not kids dancing together?
Yeah, she wanted an adults-only Eras Tour movie experience. Like, Izzy sent me that. She's like, look how crazy this lady is on Facebook. Just like,
can't you just go like a 10 p.m. showing?
That's what I thought. I was like, this lady does not, she's going to like the 2 p.m. showings. She needs to like go at 10 p.m. on like a Friday night.
Yeah.
And I could tell she didn't really have a good sense for these things because she was like, come on, y'all, I'm going to buy bulk tickets for us all to go together so no kids are allowed. And it was like for an 8 p.m. showing on Sunday night. And I'm like, you see, I can tell you don't know how to curate a vibe. Why nobody sees movies on Sunday nights.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is why you're failing to get the experience you want.
I agree.
Also, seems weird to complain. Like, I feel like a daytime showing of the Eras Tour movie is the one of the most appropriate places for a kid to be. Seems like a weird expectation that wouldn't be.
I guess they should be
children.
In school right now, right?
It's a weekend.
Okay. Then, yeah. What else are they doing with their day? Let's see. Okay. I got two scary movies and a food thing. Yesterday, I finally fulfilled a promise I made to you, Paul, and I went to Jamie's Bar and Grill in Sacramento from our Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives episode, and I got the most aggressively salted potato salad I've ever gotten before. I think I ended up being drier at the end of my meal than I just started off with from the potato salad. It was good. Like, every time you took a bite, you're like, oh, this is too much, but I kind of like it. And the burger was just okay. They weren't doing prime rib that day. But I should have gotten a garlic and steak sandwich. Apparently, that's like the number one thing that people order. But yeah, like, overall, it was like a chill vibe. It was definitely one of those things where there was a real chatty Kathy at the bar who like clearly knows all the workers and stuff. who was trying to bring me into the conversation. He was trying to buy drinks for everyone at the bar. And once he left, my experience got a good bit better.
Did you go back to Pete's and talk to that guy yet, Adrian?
No, I have not made it out there yet.
People love you, man. You just look so approachable. I never get, like, brought into these things in public.
He was, like, talking to the bartender about how she's, like, trying to buy a car, a used car or whatever. And he was, like, telling her and giving her tips and be like, oh, yeah, Sierra College actually, like, shuts down and becomes a car sales place every weekend. You should go. And then he just looked at me and he's like, where'd you buy your car? I was like, from out of state, man. I don't know.
Do I need to smile more? Is that it? Do I come off as unapproachable?
Is this, are you doing a feminism right now? People always tell me to smile more.
What's going on? I want people to bring me into these little convos.
You
want
to be bombarded with tedium? Okay, and then I watched Pearl finally. I watched X, wasn't impressed. Pearl was definitely a lot better. I actually really don't understand people who think that X is better than Pearl. Like, unless your one thing for horror movies is, like, gore and kills. But, like, it's just such a better movie. And it's, like, definitely, like, visually and stylistically a lot better. I didn't, like, love it. I'd still give it, like, maybe, like, a 7 out of 10. But it's definitely worth watching. It's on Paramount Plus now. Okay, and then on Cheap Movie Tuesday, I went to go check out an Argentine horror movie, When Evil Lurks. If I'm going to do the you Google a movie and it gives you, like, three words to describe it type thing that Google does now, I think Bleak was the one that I heard that I think was the most appropriate. It's a very bleak movie, but it's really good. It's supernatural. It's supernatural and religious, which is not like my favorite thing, but it's definitely worth watching if it's around, if it's in your city. It is a bleak, very like, what's the word? Yeah, it kind of makes you feel bad.
Is there a spooky nun in it?
No, there are spooky kids at a religious school. But yeah, that's all I have. So I talked about driving from the burbs into the city today, Paul. We're gonna use that as a drive into our theme.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
By the way, our theme is suburbs.
Suburbs, which, if you don't know, is defined as
the is there urban a limit sprawl outside of a city?
Is there a limit to what's a suburb and what's not a suburb?
I don't know, but I would have definitely said that I lived in a suburb and you lived out in the country. If I had to define where we lived.
Oh, growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you grew up in a suburb. I grew up out in the boonies.
I grew up in a suburb, like literally like a neighborhood, like a suburb.
And yeah, like with a cul-de-sac
also
and stuff.
In suburbia.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you were close enough of a drive that maybe you're defined as somebody who didn't live in a suburb, but within the limits of a suburbia. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think people call Gilbert a suburb of Columbia. I do know that aside from, like, my parents' general kind of independence and wackiness that, like, and I don't even know where they heard about this, but the one thing keeping them from ever buying a house in a suburb or even looking was a homeowners
HOA?
Association.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were like, suck. I don't want nobody telling me no rules. Yeah. They do suck.
It's
yeah.
infuriating. It's like somebody builds like a 6-foot fence and they're like, actually, the suburb rules say 5-foot, so you're going to have to pay to demolish it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just shit like that. It's like somebody yelling. It's like, oh, you can't put up a basketball net. Mm-hmm. Like, those are against the rules. Take it down. It's just like constantly shit like that.
Yeah, I think like what time, sometimes they get into like what kind of plants you can have or whatever. Or like how you have to keep your lawn or whatever, which
a lot of
dumb.
Them do like what type of grass you have, because it's like we want it to all be the same color, not like different green shades from yard to yard.
Yeah, it is infuriating bullshit. I mean, the reason that I even had the whole street parking from the bonus episode thing was because I'm not allowed to park in front of the garage anymore, because apparently that's like considered the street, not your house or something. I don't know. But Pierce and Nicole let me know before. They were like, yeah, we already got a warning from the Homeowners Association, so don't park in front of the garage. Which I'm currently doing right now, because I don't think they work on Sundays. Is that a thing? Is it a Monday 9-5 thing? Should I be worried?
Yeah, they're kind of like Chick-fil-A.
Okay, yeah. Closed on Sundays?
I mean, these are all run by old people, so it's like if your neighbor just happens to be the guy who likes to be a fussy rule follower and walk
Goddamn
around
Mark.
And do HOA violations, yeah. You could get violations for a Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be fine. Yeah, so anyways, suburbs. Yeah, how did you like growing up in a neighborhood?
Oh, I liked it, yeah. It was nice to have a lot of other kids around, but I mean, nowadays with everybody on their cell phones how they are, I don't even know if that's a benefit.
Come on, no.
But yeah, it was nice. It was nice to be able to go outside and find other children's abouts.
Mm-hmm.
And go into the woods and generally hang. Get up into hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
Build a
rope
swing.
Go to the bamboo forest.
Go into the bamboo forest and for some reason feel like you're qualified to use that bamboo as building material for like bridges across the creek and shit.
You're doing a lot of engineering.
A lot of really shoddily built stuff by children in my neighborhood.
I don't know
why our parents
built.
Just let us take saws, hand saws, into the woods and just chop shit and be like, yeah, we could probably build something with this.
You guys had saws?
Yeah, we'd take saws back there to cut down the bamboo with or like the trees with to like try to build bridges or little huts.
Interesting. When I was a kid, right at the end of like the driveway, not like all the way up to the road, but like where it kind of like comes into my house, there's these two big plants and they have these really fibrous like shoots, almost like bamboo. And what we would do is we would take those off and use them as swords to play with.
Like canes.
Yeah, except I had to learn pretty quickly that it's one of those things where you don't notice, but like the texture of it definitely like caused abrasions on your hands while you were using it. And so you'd always end up like covered with cuts at the end of a.
I know exactly what plant you're talking about. They look like little tiny bamboos or like maybe.
Yeah. They're very like layered, like kind of that like leak thing going on.
And they do. They have like a papery thing around them that like, yeah, I could see how that would like, if you were holding it, would like, it would like start to peel and.
Yeah. I don't think I built a lot of stuff though. I didn't have the materials necessary.
What other things we used to do? We'd cut down like a little sapling and try to make a bow out of it with like really bad string somebody's dad had in their garage, and it was just these like really shitty bows. I don't think we were using the right type of wood.
Yeah, just something flexible probably work.
I mean, I guess they would shoot like 50 yards or something, and then we would use that same stick you were using for sword fighting as the arrows.
That's like half a football field. That's pretty good.
They didn't have much aim. It was probably more on our arrows because, we use those same things used for swords as arrows. And those wouldn't fly straight.
Real wild card.
Yeah.
Did no one in your neighborhood have an actual bow and arrow set? I feel like that was a common thing to have as a kid. I had one.
I think some people did, but I don't know. I think making it was kind of the fun. You feel like a little adventurer.
Yeah, you really just had to take up time. It was really what you were doing more than anything.
Childhood, man.
I'll tell you
what's going on.
And you had a basketball court. You didn't need to have a freestanding basketball hoop at your house.
Yeah, that basketball court was not good. It had like that really like bouncy metallic rim.
And that's why your jump game was weak. That's why your jump shot game was weak.
But no, that wasn't our HOA. I just know some HOAs had that. We did have a freestanding basketball court, basketball net at the end of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, cool. I don't remember that.
I remember somebody did complain once because we used to play hockey in the cul-de-sac, like, inline skate hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just move the nets whenever a car came in. But I guess somebody at one point decided that was us blocking the road because of the net was like some.
Oh, y'all were like Antifa. Y'all were illegally blocking the road to protest. Yeah. You're a bunch of little Greta Thunbergs
out there. I don't think the HOA did anything about it, but yeah, I remember that.
They didn't reprimand you?
I mean, maybe they did. It's so hard. Like, what? Like, how are you going to ascertain whose children it is and fine anybody for that? You know what I mean? That's a pretty complicated thing to.
I think growing up, I guess we're talking about neighborhoods. I guess that neighborhoods are kind of what, like, the things that define suburbia is that you have to drive, it's not really walkable, and then living in neighborhoods. And the only thing that I ever got jealous of with kids living in neighborhoods is when they had amenities like a pool or something like that. Otherwise, being that close to other people never actually appealed to me that much.
You didn't want, like, friends so accessible that, like, your parents didn't have to drive you to them? I guess you had a sister who was close enough in age.
Mm-hmm.
You guys could play.
Yeah.
The suburbs can be contrasted against you out in the country, but it can also be contrasted against city life. The
city slickers.
Yeah.
Paul's heart goes out to any kid who grew up in an apartment. It's the thing that upsets him more than anything in the world. That and if you have vertical blinds in that apartment, I mean, Paul's heart is breaking right now. You might as well have been raised in the favela.
No, suburban apartments are definitely sadder than city apartments.
Mm.
A kid who grew up in a city apartment's probably fine.
That makes sense. But even the suburban apartments have pools and stuff like that.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me to swim in a Lexington apartment complex pool.
Phil does that pretty regularly. He hangs out with Wayne at his pool. So like I was saying, neighborhoods, and then the fact that they're not walkable.
Yeah.
Which, have you heard of these 15-minute cities?
Impossible.
Charlie and I were I don't know if that's media roundup, experiential roundup. I got to catch up with my friend Charlie for the first time in forever. Went over to his house on Friday, and we had a few beers and a couple cocktails. He made some pizza. It was good. Talked to his wife for a lot more than I ever have before, too. She's really nice.
What's Charlie's pizza game? Is he in the oven, or does he have, like, a pizza oven?
They have two kids, one that's, like, two and one that's five. We were making DiGiorno's and, like, home run-in pizzas. He was not taking out the uni.
When you said he made pizzas, I was like, oh, is he, like, one of these guys with a pizza stone and a whole, like, really specific?
No. He probably could. He has the backyard for it. He could do the Kenji aesthetic if he wanted to. But no, it was more about the cocktail making. That's more where he was shining. His wife was the one actually making the pizzas. But anyways, he was telling me about how in an NPR article, they were talking about 15-minute cities, and they made sure to include a link to the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, where he's like, have you heard of in Europe, they're trying to make these things called 15-minute cities, where they're going to keep you in the same 15-minute area or whatever, like, you're not allowed to leave?
Dude, I've heard the same thing. Republicans are obsessed with this idea that 15-minute cities or walkable cities are prisons.
Yeah, it's insane.
It seems like such a purposefully bad face reading of what that means.
Mm-hmm. That ain't freedom. If I ain't able to drive 30 minutes to get to a Walmart and that's my closest grocery store, that ain't freedom.
I mean, but once again, it's not that you're not able to. It's just that there would be other options, not that anybody would stop you.
Yeah, of course.
They somehow interpret it as somebody would literally stop you from leaving that 15-minute boundary. Like, there will be a fence. And I don't know where they get that idea from, but I mean, I'm sure they know that's not true. They just have to, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in conservatives' minds.
The Koch brothers probably giving them money to say that.
I don't think it's Coke money behind this anti-15-minute city propaganda. I think it's the big pizza chains going, oh, people are going to expect their pizzas faster than 30 minutes or less if they know they live in a 15-minute city.
Yeah.
We can't meet those expectations. We got to put a kibosh on this.
How do you feel about the suburbs of Charlotte now that we've gone through the Lexington subreddit or sub area?
I don't go out to them that often.
I noticed. Shout out Machu Picchu in Pineville, I think, is that suburb.
Yeah, compared to the, like, density of good stuff just close to the city, it really never seems worth it to do a 30-minute drive just for, like, one particularly
good
Korean restaurant.
You're saying you got better Peruvian food over there?
No, I don't think so, but we have good food in general, and I don't really need to usually make a big trek.
Yeah, well, I think Davis is technically a suburb, so that's kind of where I've lived most of my life and not really in Sacramento, and I don't like it. I hate roasting Natomas every time I'm here, house-sitting for Nicole and Pierce, because I do generally enjoy being here. Just don't like the area. I don't like that anytime you leave your house and have to get on the interstate to go somewhere, it can be anywhere from 10 minutes early to 10 minutes late just based on whether or not you hit a certain light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a suburb thing, but it feels like a suburb thing. Same thing with, like, how technically a store that's, like, a quarter mile away can take up to 10 minutes to get to if you just hit the wrong light, because it's three huge intersections that you have to go through because it's,
Or when you're like, shit, the place I have to get to is a left on this intersection, I might as well just not go.
Yeah, actually,
take
a
left on a busy intersection.
I'll tell you what.
It's just, it ain't worth it.
Yeah. So not exactly the issue that I had with Davis. With Davis, it was more of like you don't have things to do or whatever. There's plenty of stuff to do here. I mean, I don't know. You can go out to Chili's for an old timer Tuesday.
Why would you go to Chili's when you have Pete's?
No, because Chili's has old timer Tuesday.
Yeah, but Pete's has friends.
That's true. No, I kind of fuck with the Buffalo Wild Wing over here. It's got the worst bathroom in the world, but the rest of it looks nice.
I mean, Buffalo Wild Wings is one of those sorts of chains that I'm a fan of.
Yeah, I'm into it. That's where I meet the Indian finance bros.
Ooh, I hadn't noticed it before, but that does seem like a place they would congregate.
Yeah, they were having their big night out after they dropped someone at the airport, and the two things was they were all business owners, so one of them was telling the other one that they needed to be less nice to their employees, and then that the one sense. Who seemed kind of sympathetic was like, you know, I just don't get these employees that I have who have anxiety. It's like, you still got to do your job or whatever. That's not an excuse to not do your job. And I was like, I don't know what's going on with these guys or what they're doing, but they don't seem cool. Article time? Cool.
Yeah. All right, Adrian. So I brought in a little bit of a suburban mania for my first column. I brought in Harriet Cole's Sense and Sensitivity. Dear Harriet, I live next door to a family from Guatemala. They are nice enough people, but to tell you the truth, they have too many people coming and going from their house. I bet anything that some of these visitors are undocumented. I can't imagine that they all have their green cards. There are just too many of them. They are tidy and friendly and all, but still, I wonder if I should report them to the police. They aren't disrupting things, but there are too many of them for everything to be on the up and up. I know that a lot of Guatemalans do day work here for lawn services and contracting, but I wonder if they pay taxes. It's all a little bit suspicious to me. What should I do?
Report them.
Report them?
You have ICE saved on your speed dial, right?
I mean, I do. I don't know if this person does.
You know, this is not the type of Guatemalan representation that I was hoping for in the pod, but... Stay strong.
Stay strong.
I like how this person made sure to make the only interpretation of this that they're just very racist.
I know. They like kept adding details. They were like, they're actually very friendly.
Very clean. They've always done it 10. No noise afterwards.
Also, I like that it's a numbers thing for them. Like, 5 Guatemalans. Okay, maybe they could all be documented. Once you're getting up into the 10, 20 Guatemalans range, you know there's a couple.
That's what they always say about Guatemalans, is like, fool me once, shame on me.
Also, if your neighbors are documented, I love the idea that you could call ICE on them in that. What's going to happen? They're going to raid the house while all their friends are over to get the undocumented people? It's your neighbor's friends, not like you don't have.
How do you even know their friends are from Guatemala? You're really just saying they have too many brown people over.
No, this is one of those racist people who really does their homework. They can.
Oh, this is Nick Mullen writing into this?
Yeah. They're like, phenotypically, you can tell they're Guatemalan. Look at the distance between their eyes, the nose width. Very clear Guatemalan signifiers.
I can tell from the skull shape.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's the thinking of the person who writes into an advice column written by a black woman about this problem?
That is funny.
Because Abby's 50-50. Abby could have been like, she'd be like, ooh, it is impolite to have so many guests over.
Seems like they want to get a talking to. Or it seems like Harriet Cole was like, I want to slam dunk this week. And she wrote in herself. She was like, I don't want to put too much effort into this week.
How has no one been exposed for doing that in the advice column
game? Seems so hard to prove. Who's auditing advice columns?
Yeah, I don't know. Otherwise, Slate would have been brought down a long time ago. Do you think they do it as a blood pact with another advice column? That way they can, like, you know, when you, like, two understudies kill each other's main character, that way they have an alibi?
This is a pretty clear case of suburban insanity, right? This is just like, you live in a suburb long enough, you just go insane like this.
You think this is environmental? You don't think this person is just a terrible person on the inside?
There's racists in cities that would want to call ICE on undocumented people or call the police on undocumented people. But it's the mixture of that with the weird, like, Snoopy neighbor.
Do you think they just want to be invited over?
Kind of.
Yeah, they're like, the food always smells so good.
And they're like, that looks so fun.
Front yard cookouts. Guatemalans do backyard cookouts.
Oh.
Yeah. We're not trying to show off all the stuff we're doing.
I'll tell you what, it's your guys' tamales and your cookout locations that differ you guys from Mexicans.
Mexicans are big front yard
Mexicans are very much cookouts. A front yard barbecue people, famously.
Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know that. I try to keep these stereotypes out of my mind.
I have a big Venn diagram. You can't see it because it's just right behind my webcam, but I keep a big Venn diagram of Guatemalans versus Mexicans.
I'm always trying to pit us against each other.
And the part where it says intersects, I wrote good friends.
Oh. And then at the intersection, you wrote Adrian's cousin Antonio and his Mexican wife. Or she might be Salvadoran, actually.
Their child.
Mm-hmm. Did I tell you that I had to cut out the part of the baby names episode with my cousin's names because of how easy it was to find them based on the fact that no one else has that name? I was like, I can't dox my fucking cousins on this fucking podcast.
That's funny.
I was like, they're literally the only thing that comes up if you if you type in their name.
You know, when you said Salvadorian, it reminds me of like when some people are talking about Salvadorian people, you know, they say El Salvadorian people. And to me, that's always just like interesting because it's, you know, a two word nation. And to give mm-hmm. those two words, it'd be like saying a United States of American.
That is what that's like.
What other countries have that where it's like two words?
Papua New Guinea?
Papua New Guineans or Guineans?
I think they're just Guinean. No, that's Ghana. Oh, I'm gonna have to figure this out when me and my Papua New Guinean wife have our half Guatemalan, half Papua New Guinean baby.
Oh, you could not pull a Papua New Guinean. Get out of here. Aim lower.
That's insane that you think there's an entire country, like besides maybe like Sweden, that I don't have a chance with any of them. Maybe like Sweden and Holland. Otherwise, I think your boy's got a chance. I'm just saying you couldn't pull a Guatemalan lady. Too spicy for you. Too much fire for you.
And unlike you, I'm not afraid to admit that. I'm not going to get defensive about it.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess it is a Sri Lankan person, not a Lankan person.
Oh, that's one of them. South Korean? Korean? North Korean? I think most people just assume they're from South Korea if they're in America and Korean.
You know how you were saying the other week, like, oh, when I bring up bees, like, everybody finds that interesting. Could you imagine how many, like, tedious conversations you'd have to have if you were North Korean?
You'd have to be on the Joe Rogan podcast just telling the most insane things okay, to Joe Rogan
that,
to satisfy his bias.
That lady. You know, could you imagine just like when you're at Pete's and somebody asks you where you're from and you're like, North Korea, like how long that conversation's immediately going to become after that?
It'd be Charlie befriends them. And every time they're like, I always forget, North or South? Which Carolina are you from? And I'm like, God damn it, Charlie. Now your wife is doing it too.
Which Korea are you from?
I always forget. I'm from North.
Are you the one with that funny chubby guy who rules the country? I like that guy. He's got panache.
K-pop, that's y'all, right?
All right. The answer to this question. It is true that law enforcement wants people to report suspicious behavior, but before you pick up the phone, evaluate your opinion and your motivation. That there's a lot of people visiting your neighbor's home is not a crime. That they are friendly and tidy, essentially good neighbors, should make you relax. If they are not doing anything that leads you to believe they are committing a crime, you should mind your business and let them live their lives. Reporting people to the police is serious. It should be done with caution and only when appropriate.
Kind of boring.
I think the part where she said before you pick up the phone, you should think about how they're good neighbors, wasn't as much of a absolutely do not call the feds on your Guatemalan neighbors as it should have been. I agree with her. No, don't call the feds or the police. But like, maybe she could have had like a stronger tone about it. Not a like, hey, just double think it sort of tone.
All right. You want to go to my call?
Yeah, let's do it.
So what I have is a first time column, long time listener, I assume. LegallySociable.com, pleasant musings on sociology, McMansions and housing, suburbs and cities, and miscellaneous errata. I did not realize that this was specifically a suburb-based advice column, but that makes sense why I found this particular question. This is from September 1st, 2021, losing friends when moving from the city to the suburbs. When people move from the city to the suburbs, do they lose their friends in the city? Here is one recent example from an advice column. Oh, they might have actually stolen this from another advice column. Should I just go to the regular advice column? Oh, it's from Slate. God damn it. I thought I was bringing in something new and I ended up bringing in Slate.
You son of a bitch.
I fucking ended up bringing in Dear Prudy. God damn it. Do they answer it though? Do they do their own answer? I think the answer is in quotes too. Oh, I'm not reading their answer on top of Slate's answer.
Is their answer like more technical, whereas Slate's is more like general?
I think their answer adds to Dear Prudy's, so I have to. Okay, yeah, no, I guess I'm just gonna do the Slate column. Never mind. All right, Dear Prudence. Not urban, not yet suburban. Maybe I'll like scan their thing at the end and see if there's anything useful added by them. One of my best friends just informed me, after I called him out on avoiding me for weeks, that because I am moving from the city where we both live to suburbia, he is no longer feeling the friendship, quote unquote, and wants to end it. The TLDR is that he has an enormous fear of being abandoned, and I think proactively decided to abandon me so I couldn't do it to him. Except that I had no intention of abandoning him and was caught completely off guard. He is single. I'm married with a preschooler who adores him, by the way, and will definitely notice the lack of his presence. And he talked about how I could be a suburban mom and forget about all my city friends. He gaslit me, making it sound like I had told him I wouldn't miss him. Wouldn't come to visit the city ever again. I'm moving 20 miles and a direct train ride away. It's hardly a hardship to come see friends. And because he doesn't have a car and can't come see me, there was no point in staying friends at the same level we have been. I never said or even came close to any of this. I admit that I've been talking a lot about my move, very positively. It really does feel like a fresh start to me, having a home and a yard after living in a 750-foot square apartment for the pandemic with a toddler. But he claims that I'm just too happy about leaving the city, and he loves the city so much that we can't be friends the same way. I'm so angry at him right now, and I can't see past any of this to consider contacting him again. But to not contact him would mean that he's right. I moved away and abandoned him. But is this a friendship worth salvaging? And if so, how? This all feels like so much bull to me. We're in our 40s, by the way. From not urban, not yet suburban. I feel bad this one. I like the idea of staying friends with somebody so that they're not right in an argument. That's the coolest thing.
I was thinking about that, too. That is a funny detail that they just don't want him to win. The other thing is, oh my gosh, this guy's insane. He did a friend breakup. I'm sorry. Unless your friend is like an actively bad person's idea of ever doing
well,
a friend breakup.
They tried ghosting and then they did the breakup.
Who does that? Just, oh, did they? They weren't communicating with them until she reached out. Still weird. I don't know. Then reply to their text and then slowly back out of the friendship.
But then
if you want to stop being friends with somebody.
Time?
No, this was advice for the friend. Breakup. So I like that they have a like Will Smith in The Fresh Prince, the episode where his dad comes out the diary.
Like, want me, man?
Why don't you want me, man? Like a fear of abandonment with your friend. Shut the fuck up. What was the other thing I was thinking of? Oh, yeah. You know how like I sometimes say polyamory isn't for me because how exhausting to have to deal with it seems like a lot of emotional labor. To be polyamorous, right? You have to juggle the emotions of a relationship, but with more than one person. This, somehow they found themselves in a friendship where they have to do that level of work. You're not even getting to fuck this person? Get the fuck out of here. Friendships are supposed to be fun.
Friendships are a place where you go to have fun. What was I gonna say? Have you ever had a friend breakup? I'm just kind of ghosting.
I don't think
people.
So, no. No.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah. Just, I mean, sometimes you grow apart. It's fine.
I did have a friendship in high school that essentially ended over a single comment because I thought it was just too... Basically what you were saying, it felt like it was too dramatic. It felt like there was too much emotional handling that I was doing for somebody that I didn't even get to fuck, as Paul says. It was one of my friends who, I guess he, like, had a lot of friendship issues with people in high school, and he had, like, a lot of actual falling outs with people. Kind of like Dora Lee. I never really understood how Dora Lee had, like, a new best friend every year because she would always have a falling out with somebody. And I was like, I'm still friends with the same people I was friends with since, like, kindergarten. But, at one point we were just talking and hanging out one night, and he was talking about someone he was upset with, and he was like, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I've just been, like, hurt and backstabbed by so many people. Like, I don't even consider you a friend because, like, I don't even know, like, I don't even know any day you could just turn on me or something like that. And that's when I was like, oh, this seems like he's got a lot of stuff going on. I kind of want to stop hanging out with him. And, like, I guess it's the same situation as this one where it's like, I'm proving him right, I guess. I don't know. But I'm okay with proving him right.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, like, friend stuff does get awkward, but I think awkward's about the furthest, right, that, like, it should go. It shouldn't feel like the same level of, like, emotional stakes that like a relationship can feel like mm-hmm. the idea of breaking up and I don't know
and then but, you being like we are never ever getting back together. Wait, what's the secret song on the Eras Tour movie?
Ooh,
that's a good question. What if it was different for every theater? So you had to go multiple times.
Can you imagine being in the city where she does her SNL skit of Taylor's rap as her secret song, and you're like, fuck me.
Doing it different, so you have to buy multiples. What she did with the record press, like, there was four different covers. So many of her fans bought all four of those records that other artists couldn't press their records, like, that year. Because all the vinyl was gone.
Hey, you know, at least they're signing up to vote.
Shit, what was I going to say, though?
I don't remember. Where even are we? What are we doing? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I might get pushback on my opinion on this one. Write in with a 5-star review if you think I'm being too emotionally withholding in my idea of friendship.
I don't know. Yeah, it kind of seems like more trouble than it's worth. They don't really say too much positive about the person. They don't really... Mm-hmm. I think that's what's missing is they're not making any kind of claim about why this is worth maintaining. It really felt like, yeah, it was just I want to be not proven right or wrong. Which in that case, they're just making a self-fulfilling prophecy every time they do this to somebody.
Which, right, that's fear of attachment. You push people away before they have a chance to hurt you.
Mm.
We really got to help this friend more than we got to help the question asker.
It's not the rules of the podcast.
Oh, you're right.
Did you and I, does this resonate with you that you grew up with a weird sense of, because we watched Scrubs as kids, that, like, adult relationships always had issues of people emotionally self-sabotaging, because that's, like, half of the relationships in Scrubs, and I'm like, I don't think people even use that language anymore. Like, what was that?
I think that Scrubs and, like, the way Friends worked with, like, how they were in relationships with people that they were friends with, I think I thought that was a lot more common as a kid, that you would end up dating somebody you were friends with, where it's, like, as an adult, extremely uncommon. You date people
because they didn't have Tinder nerd friends. Otherwise, yeah, Joey would have been like, "How you doing?" Every like
nowadays, I feel like if somebody dates somebody that they've been friends with for more than a couple of years, it's like a big deal. You're like, "Whoa, it finally happened!" Like,
is that a Ross and Rachel?
They did a Ross and Rachel. That never happens. Good for them.
Your comments about how her boyfriends that she had before weren't treating her right worked. You're really cool.
They finally work. You were finally a really cool dude who did the he's not treating you right thing. That's what cool dudes do. Is that why guys say that? Did they watch Friends and they thought they had to...
Either that or they're learning it at home, you know? It starts in the home.
Is that why so many men think it's okay to be a little fucking weasel?
Sniveling little worm. And that brings me to my next point. You don't treat Izzy right.
Is that what you text her? You're like, I don't think Paul's been treating you right, if I have to be honest.
Paul's treating you right. You are a beautiful Mexican queen. He should be treating you better.
And even better than that if you were Guatemalan, but...
Yeah, well, you know, we can't all be beautiful and perfect at the same time.
Yeah, did you have any more... Okay, advice for this woman. What should she do?
You know who I bet probably... who will never listen to this, but it would resonate with them a lot, is... apparently, Justin's PhD friends finishing and moving on to other things. It's been a real thing about him not... Like, he's always... Like, he'll call me to catch up. And I'll always apologize for, like, waiting a week to call me. And I'm like, no, weekly is fine. It's about how often we should be checking in with each other. He's always like, should I call this person or whatever? And I was like, I mean, if you think so, I don't know. And he's like, yeah, but I had to call them, like, the last three times. And they didn't call me, like, a single time in between then. And I was like... I wouldn't think about it that much, man. If it takes this much mental anguish to figure out the relationship, maybe just drop it.
Oh, that's definitely me and Becca Ramos' friendship, where she hates calls, and I insist that to stay friends with somebody, so I call her sometimes and always start the conversation with acknowledging the fact that I know she doesn't like calls. That I'm going to make her have one anyway.
Y'all don't Zoom?
We don't do PowerPoint nights where we both come up with quirky PowerPoints to present to each other. We don't do that.
Okay. I think that's more of an in-person thing. Is that something people are doing on Zoom?
That's what people were doing during COVID.
No, I think I only saw that in person. Zoom is pretty good for movie nights. You watch a movie together.
My advice to this person is let this friend go. Let them push you away. I don't know. You're not going to juggle their feelings and come out perfect or whatever in this situation.
I would say however much energy you have for the relationship, put that into it. If it works out, it works out.
I think, like you said, how important is this friendship? Was it like before this, you guys were through sick and sin together and like they're like a sibling to you? Or is this like we got drunk together a bunch in college, and it's
maybe
fine,
yeah,
to let this one go.
Like, I have a thing with a former coworker where, I don't know, there are things where they'll text me and they'll be like, hey, thinking of you, whatever, hope you're doing well. I was watching Key and Peele today or whatever, and I was thinking about you, and I was like, I don't think we watched that show together. I don't think that was a thing we ever did. Like, why is that part of the text?
Because you're a big Jordan Peele head. You love all his movies.
I was like, do I just misremember what we did during this friendship? Or like,
I'm trying to think of the most watching Monsters, Inc. again, just thinking about you, man.
I hope you're doing good, man.
You're like, is it because he thinks I look like the little green guy? What's...
Hey, Mike Wazowski?
Am I Mike Wazowski?
I'm a Mike Wazowski in the streets. I'm a Sully in the sheets. Come on.
Now. Oh, come on. Get out of here.
Come on now. Paul's tapping me up through the Zoom. Okay. Do you want to hear the answer or what do you want to do?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Let's hear Slate's answer and then maybe we'll hear this other person's answer. Okay. Answer. I can very much imagine getting a letter here from a single man saying, one of my best friends moved from the city to the suburbs, and you know what? We didn't even bring up the fact that the kid was probably the first riff, even though the kid seems to like him. That was probably, like, the first, like, abandonment thing of, like, oh, God, now they're only going to have parent friends or whatever.
Mm-hmm. An adult being jealous of the time you spend with your kid is very funny.
One of my best friends moved from the city to the suburbs, and all she talks about is countertops and lawn care and finding a nanny, and it's so boring, and I just don't feel like we connect anymore, and I don't know if we'll ever see each other again. I would probably tell him to make an effort to talk about things that interest him, to give you a little space to be excited about your new life, and to be deliberate about making plans together and to hold off on declaring the friendship dead until trying these things. But instead, he just cut you off. To me, that's a sign of being a bit immature, selfish, and inflexible, and that he only valued you for the way you fit into his current life rather than who you are. If you don't feel like contacting him, don't. After all, he's basically ended the friendship without your input. But maybe, like you said, this is just a tantrum over feelings over feeling abandoned. If, once you get settled, you decide that you're still thinking about him and want to be a bigger person, and want to be the bigger person, and the person who rides the train to me for dinner. Tell him you miss him and offer to meet up somewhere convenient to him. If he accepts, you can feel out whether you enjoy the new iteration of your friendship and what it takes to maintain it. If he declines, you have your answer, and you can live your suburban life in peace. Okay, so yeah, that's my column then. That's all I got for you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one thing they pointed out was also that, like, this is happening while you're moving, so it's already, like, enough stress usually to move. It is very annoying for your friend to kind of like ram in and be like, that you're moving is about me.
Yeah. All right. Third segment.
Yeah. You want to explain this one, Adrian?
Yeah. So we are doing, hold on. Paul and I mentioned earlier about how one thing that's comforting about the suburbs is that they all look the same and they all have the same stores. And you can pretty reliably know what's going to be in any given suburb, whether it be a Target or a Best Buy or whatever it is. So Paul and I are taking three somehow related chains and then pitting them against each other for the other one to pick to keep one, to have one in the town over, and for one to be gone forever. Thanos snapped into dust. And so... there might be some overlap because we didn't consult each other for these, but basically they are trying to be curated for the other person of like, I know you like these three things or I know you hate these three things, so it's going to be a hard thing to pick or maybe not.
Oh, that's funny. For my first two categories, I specifically formatted them as Paul's favorites in these categories. Okay.
Cool.
I'll go ahead and go first. Paul's favorite sit-down suburban chains.
Now, where are these stand-up suburban chains?
Olive Garden, Cracker Barrel, Bonefish Grill.
Wait, those are your favorite?
Yeah. Sit down chains.
Okay, that one's pretty easy. Obviously, I'm going to keep Bonefish Grill in my town because it's like, I don't know, we talked about it before. It's actually just really good food.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. I am going to, this is going to upset some people. I think I'm going to have a Cracker Barrel in the town over. I've lived all of my life as a kid with a Cracker Barrel in the town over and not in my town, and it worked out just fine. That's about how much I needed it to be there. Olive Garden, get chicken parm somewhere else. Thanos napping that one.
Interesting. I would have definitely kept Olive Garden in my town.
Really? You like it that much?
Mm-hmm.
You really love that Zuppa Toscana?
Yeah. I'm an OG fan. I'm an OG fan of the OG.
Is it a birthday dinner thing, or is it a place you still go to, or what's the Olive Garden thing?
As a kid, my parents would take us there sometimes, and I just always liked it, yeah. And I still go there. Yeah, I still really like it.
I haven't been in a very long time. Very carby meals. Very pasta forward.
Oh, get the unlimited salad. Come on.
Come on. No, the most I ever went there was with my girlfriend in high school, because she really liked it. Her favorite food in the world was Zuppa Toscana at Olive Garden. It was the soup at Olive Garden. Okay, Paul. So these are kind of in the realm of things that can keep you entertained in a suburb. We got a GameStop, movie theater, Firefly. And if you need to know, Firefly is a local chain from Lexington that's like a board game. People go there to like get trading cards, get board games, and then also go there to play board games with their friends on certain nights.
You know, I never spent a lot of time at Firefly, as in I think I only ever went in once. But because there's a social aspect to it, I'm putting it in the town over and getting rid of GameStop, because I can get my, like, they're already on their way out. You can get games digitally. It's fine.
There's something about feeling it physically. It's something about being there on release day.
I do like walking into a GameStop, but the idea of, just for other people's sake, the idea of sit-down game board shops, I'm not just getting rid of Firefly, right? If I got rid of it, sit-down game board shops in general would go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave that. That's a social space.
Well, wait, that doesn't make sense. So did I get rid of all Italian sit-down places? What did I do?
Well, I think I understand. Because Firefly's only one place. Is it even a chain?
They moved and moved back.
Okay, well, I would definitely get rid of that, because there's other options. GameStop, there's no other GameStop. So okay, we're getting rid of Firefly. We're keeping GameStop in the town over.
Are there not GameStop alternatives?
Not good ones.
I mean, what I should have done?
They swallowed up all the competition. Remember when it was a Rhino Games next to Walmart?
Yeah.
And then it became a GameStop?
I guess it doesn't matter, but I maybe should switch movie theater to like a Blockbuster, like a movie rental place, but that's already out of fashion anyway.
And, I would keep a movie theater in my town, because movie theaters, the amount I visit them is very proportional to the distance they are from me. So I need that right next to me.
Okay, Paul, what's your next one?
All right, so the next one of the second of the two lists that are segmented as Paul's faves is Paul's favorite fast foods. So we got McDonald's, Zaxby's, and Five Guys.
McDonald's, Zaxby's, and Five Guys. This feels like a hard one to answer as someone who's normally lived in place. Like, I live within, like, 5-minute driving distance of two McDonald's right now. Like, they're goddamn everywhere. It feels weird to have to drive to the town over to get McDonald's. I would never go. I can never wake up early enough to drive to the next town over to get McDonald's breakfast. So I think I need that in my town. Okay, I need a McDonald's in my town just because I like their breakfast the best, and I need to be able to get there somewhat reasonably. I don't want it to be a trip, whereas I've taken a trip out to go to a Five Guys once. I don't like Zaxby's. It's one of my hottest takes. People always disagree with me. I don't think their special sauce is any different than any... Cane's sauce is better than their special sauce. Chicken's just all right. I don't really like the nibbler. I think it's a good construction of a sandwich, not something I'm really seeking out. Yeah, I'm getting rid of Zaxby's.
And Five Guys in the town over.
Yeah, I'll drive out for a Five Guys. I'll drive out for a Five Guys to get effed in my ass for $20 for a burger and fries.
Do you have a section that you're going to pitch to me with fast food or Chick-fil-A in it?
I have one with fast food, yeah.
You want to? Well, I just wanted to tell my Chick-fil-A story from this week. It's not really much of a story.
Okay. You shouldn't have one, because you shouldn't be going, but...
The honey pimento chicken sandwich, trash.
You don't like pimento on hot sandwiches.
Yeah, and the sandwich has only reified my...
Why would you, like, go out and order something you don't like, and then
I wanted to try it. It sucks.
It looks so good.
It sucks so much. It's useless. It's a bullshit sandwich. Nobody order it.
I love a hot pimento cheese on a chicken sandwich.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right, Paul, for you, I ain't talking Limbaugh, but we got Rush's, we got Zaxby's, We got Bojangles.
Ooh, I'm sorry, putting Zaxby's in my town. I'm putting Zaxby's in my town. I'm putting Rush's the town over, and we're getting rid of... Or wait, sorry. I'm putting Zaxby's in my town. We're putting Bojangles the town over, and we're getting rid of Rush's.
Wow. Because it has the least impact on everybody else?
Yeah, it's really me.
You're really taking a bullet for it, yeah. Because there's only like four of them things in the Columbia area.
And you know, I've been through Lexington and not felt the need to get Rush's, even though I can never have it here. So it's not like it's not sitting heavy on my mind that I don't have access to Rush's.
I guess so, but like I think for me, that's why I think Bojangles. It's the breakfast thing again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to drive to the town over to get a Bojangles breakfast. If for whatever reason my friends want to go to Zaxby's, I'm willing to drive to the town over to get a Zaxby's.
Mm. Well, you just don't like Zaxby's, so obviously that's going to change your dynamic.
But are you getting dinner at Bojangles?
I think the thing is that Bojangles, I do like those Bo Berry biscuits, which I think that's another one of your hot takes. You're not a fan of those, right? You just like the regular meals.
I'm not a big breakfast sweets guy.
Yeah. I mean, that would kill you. It's like sugary and carby.
It would murder me. It's like one of those like Dunkin' Donuts shakes.
Those could be flipped. They're both places I like going. I think right now the reason I put Zaxby's in the city over Bojangles is because Zaxby's, I don't have one close to me. I have a ton of Bojangles next to me. So it might be like the grass is always greener thing. I go to Bojangles way more often now.
But Zaxby's is in North Carolina.
Yeah, but the closest one's out in the suburbs, so I never go to it.
Ah, the fucking burbs. Okay, so that's why Bojangles, you would go out to the burbs for it, be okay with it being that close. Okay.
Okay, next up,
Adrian. I respect your opinion. I don't agree with your opinion.
I got Subspots. For you, I got Subway, Firehouse, Jimmy John's.
This has the most impact out of anything we could possibly do, right? Subway is by far the number one franchised restaurant.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That shit's trash. The fact that when Hunter came back from Germany, the one thing he wanted was a Subway sandwich, which, do they have Subways in Germany? Like, I'm pretty sure they do. That solidified, that and him saying that Indians don't know how to use spices solidified my, like, okay, this white boy is pinnacle white boy, doesn't understand food. But getting rid of Subway, never liked it, not a big fan of it. Jimmy John's, are you a fan of Jimmy John's?
No, I actually put it below Subway in my ranking.
I have like a nice memory of a friend's quasi date thing that involved Jimmy John's, so that's the only reason why I'm keeping in the town over. But a Firehouse, an Italian sub, you get yourself a nice little pickle.
All right, come on. That was a test, because if you'd said a Firehouse wasn't the one that you kept in your town, I would have I have the authorities on standby.
And, oh, yeah. No.
I would have told them there was an illegal Guatemalan in Pearson Nicole's house.
There's an alien. Okay. I mean, that's all to say that, like, subs have never been my favorite thing to go pay someone else to make for me. So still wouldn't go very often, but I think I've said it on pod. I think like 2 birthdays ago when my mom asked me what I wanted for lunch, I was like, bring me back some Firehouse. I want an Italian sub. Okay.
I like the level of toasted they get their sandwich to. Not everybody else gets at the right level of the bread's toasted and the sandwich is warm without crisping the bread too much. I don't know how they do it, but they whatever system they use, better than the other chains.
I feel you. It's like that thing when you do when you make a sandwich at home where you make sure to only toast one side of the bread and leave the other side soft. Mm-hmm. That way you can like kind of get into it. Okay. Actually, I brought in more food than I thought I did, because I have 2 more food ones. Which one do you want first? Do you want my sit-down restaurants?
Yeah, let's hear them.
I did a little bit sort of like I did with the other one. I got Chili's, Applebee's, and Fats Cafe.
Ooh.
So okay. Another kind of random local favorite. I don't know how many Fats Cafes there are, but...
I'm getting rid of Applebee's. I'm putting Chili's in my town. And I'm putting Fats the town over.
You want a Chili's over a Fats?
Yeah.
Because of Old Timer Tuesday?
Because of Old Timer Tuesday. A Chili's definitely has, like, of the, like, bar food chains, like those that you mentioned, it definitely has the most, like, I don't know, like, their deep fried things are actually, like, the right type of crispy. Not, like, the gross type of crispy. I don't know if I worded that correctly, but I don't know.
No, I feel you. I'm glad. I probably would have put B-dubs in there, and I'm glad that you like them as much as I do, because I think a lot of people dunk on them. I mean, even I was like that as a teenager when my brother was like, oh, we're finally getting to B-dubs in Times Squares. I know where I'm going. And I was like, really? That's what you're excited about in New York City?
Well, I think the thing about Buffalo Wild Wings is that they're just, it's like exactly what, like, it's the most standard wing. Like, if there was like an international standard for like, here's how we measure all wings, either better or worse, it's like, that's right there at the like. Although I will say I did like Carolina Wild Wings more growing up.
The one by the movie theater?
Yeah, there was a couple of them around. It was like a small chain.
I like those guys, and I thought their wing chips were pretty good.
Yeah. But yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings is just the most like standard wing. It's like, any wing better than that is a good wing. Any wing worse, I'm like, I wouldn't get wings from this place again. All right, Adrian. This next segment I've ranked as a basic goods segment.
Goods, okay.
And these three places have three very different vibes, but they all sell the same category of just general goods. They're really your old-timey general goods.
Oh, okay. Oh, I forgot to say, that was part of my Cracker Barrel opinion, is that I like that there's a store there, too.
We got Target, we got Costco, and we got Walmart.
Ooh. Costco is so different than those. I feel like they almost don't fit into that category. Shout out once again to Charlie in his house where he was burning the biggest scented candle I've ever seen. And I was like, if assuming that it's proportional to the price that I see for regular size scented candles, did you like put a down payment on this thing? Like, what the how do you afford that? And then his wife was like, $35 at Costco, you should go get one. I was like, hell yeah, are you for that much candle? I'd be losing money if I didn't do that. Although I do not have a Costco membership.
Mm.
I've only ever been when my parents had a Sam's Club membership. How much are those things running these days? Should I get one?
I think they're like $50 a year.
That's not bad. Yeah, that's like my Planet Fitness. You know, I got to even out the Planet Fitness. So it feels dishonest to say that I'd want a Costco in my town. Also, Costco runs aren't like a you're on the way back home type thing. That's like a you make it your Saturday morning.
That's why I said very different vibes, yeah.
Costco I'm fine having in the town over. I'd want a Target in my town and a Walmart gone forever. Ooh, that's going to put a lot of people out of jobs. Am I being anti-worker?
I was going to say every day better any prices. Of these are.
Have you heard of this thing about how when you get onboarded at Walmart, they also show you how to apply for food stamps since you'll need them since you don't make enough?
Yikes. That's horrible. But I was going to say, yeah, maybe if you get rid of it, local businesses thrive again. Maybe you improve the economy and improve everybody's job prospects. Oh,
okay. We're doing that meme again of society if Walmart was dismantled.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, just almost carbon copy chain would immediately take
its
place.
But also, if we didn't have Walmart, who would write that book about how Walmart teaches us how to make a planned economy?
Oh,
the People's Republic of Walmart.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to stick steadfast with what I'm saying, which it actually, no, I'm sticking with it. Give me the Target in the town I live in, where you're going to find, what is it? Bolivian hats? Columbia hats? Panama hats.
What did you say? Bolivian hats? I guess that's where they were really from, right? It was either Bolivia or Ecuador that Panama hats
were
from actually
a,
originally.
A country that had a revolution funded by them. Nicaragua, maybe? That is my final answer.
I also couldn't get rid of those big red balls, man. They bring too much joy in my life.
Yeah, you love them big red balls, don't you? Okay. I have a similar one, so I'll do it for you. Publix, Harris Teeter, some random-ass Indian market.
Getting rid of Harris Teeter, putting Publix in my town, putting the Indian market in the town over.
I guess I set you up for that one, didn't I? I thought you liked Harris Teeter, or was that just convenience?
That was convenience. I hate their grocery section.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the produce, or?
Yeah, the produce. They don't have a good variety. At least the one close to me, it was always cramped. The quality wasn't that good. The prices weren't good.
Listen up, Harris
the
Teeter.
The grocery section.
If Paul had his way, he'd be teetering on the edge.
And then Publix, you know, you can get the pub sub. I think the BOGO deals, if you shop those, it's not as badly priced as people try to pretend it is.
Mm-hmm.
you have to be smart about shopping the Boga, to be fair. It is naturally higher priced than the other competitors. Mm-hmm. And then the Indian market, it's like, you know, that's specialty goods. It's not goods I want constantly.
Could be good produce.
It could be, but I also often feel intimidated by the variety at ethnic markets because I'm a white boy at heart. Do you buy produce from Spanish markets or Indian markets or...
El Mercado Loco.
I honestly do feel overwhelmed sometimes by, like, the novelty and the, like, difference from what I'm used to.
Well, like, you see, like, a long, skinny Chinese eggplant, and you're like, this one looks like an even skinnier penis.
I'm like, is this a good deal? I don't know. The prices are very good.
Yeah, I think usually it seems reasonable to me.
Okay, so, Adrian, this last section I have for you is probably the most... The connection is a little bit more vague.
Tenuous?
Yeah, tenuously connected. I called these novelty stores. And novelty, I'm defining as rarely needed, but they're kind of nice to walk around. And sometimes you do go to them because it beats the shipping times if you need something from them a little quicker.
Okay, I get the vibe.
So I put, in this one, I put World Market, Best Buy, and Barnes & Noble.
World Market, Best Buy, and Barnes & Noble. I went to a Best Buy recently, and it's exactly for the reason that you said. I'd gotten a new computer, I wanted a charger for it, Amazon had them for pretty cheap, but it was going to take at least a day to get there, and I wanted to set up my new computer. It didn't come with a charger. And I go to Best Buy, and I'm like, it's literally $50 or more than getting it off of Amazon and waiting a day. This, I don't understand who still shops here.
Yeah, I mean, I either go for that reason or because, like, sometimes it's nice to walk around and see new gadgets and gizmos I'm never going to buy, but just be like, oh, okay, that's on the market again.
I thought the whole thing was that, like, they had knowledgeable staff. They had the Geek Squad. I thought that was the thing.
No.
It was like you go to the camera department and there's, like, a guy who knows about cameras who's like, oh, well, the aperture on this one's going to be whatever. Like, what are you shooting? Are you shooting, like, portraits or?
Pornography, mostly.
Yeah, mostly. I'm actually, I have an OnlyFans. Check it out. Is that good marketing for a person who has OnlyFans is going to Best Buy to ask for video equipment and then being like, oh, I have an OnlyFans?
How do you get them the link?
You have it on your phone in a QR code.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have it in a sticker. So that's for sure dying and off the face of this earth. And I don't feel bad about that one because I think it's going to happen pretty soon anyways. World Market died in Davis, RIP, about a year or two ago. And I do miss it. I want a World Market in my town.
Yeah, I bought so little from there. I can imagine why they go out of business. I've been in so many times in my life, and I think I can count on a single hand the number of times I've actually used a register there, like left with something.
Sometimes it's fun to buy alcohol or like fun drinks there. Sometimes the candies there, the hot sauce collection there is pretty good. I'd go there to get Queen's Majesty, the hot one sauce that Sean Evans said was his favorite, without having to order it online.
Gift giving, yeah, or yeah, like yeah.
So, yeah, and then Barnes & Noble, town over. I grew up with that. I was fine with that. I don't use them that much.
Well, we had a
I
know there's a again. You know, those yeah. are elastic, replaceable, whatever it's called.
Yeah. I think the one thing about Barnes & Noble that I've found out from being a Junji Ito fan is that sometimes they'll just, like, mess up and, like, put books out that aren't supposed to be out yet early. Is that a thing that you've noticed? Or have you heard anything
about? I've heard about that happening, yeah. It sometimes like
is that just a rogue employee or what is that?
Yeah, it's just like a badly managed store. Well, I don't even know if badly managed. It's not the employee's fault, but like they just get a box in, open it up, and put it out without like reading the thing on it. That's like wait till this date to display.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So yeah, for that reason, maybe if you want to get Junji Ito a little bit early.
All right, cool. So Best Buy town over, World Market in your town. Oh wait, sorry. Barnes & Noble town over. World
yeah,
Market
no, Best Buy is dead, bro. All right. When I was looking up things that are common in suburbs, I saw the preview to a Reddit discussion where someone said, hey, it's not a suburb if it doesn't have a Japanese hibachi place. And that inspired this one. Sumos, Miyabi, or Benihana?
You know, I've... Benihana town over, because... You want that entertainment, but you're not going to go that frequently. Sumo or Miyabi's? Have I ever been
grow
to
up
a
with
Sumo?
A Benihana.
I don't know if I've ever been to a Sumo's. I don't think
Sumo's, I don't want this to sway your decision, but Sumo's is a local to Lexington Japanese hibachi place that no longer exists.
Was that the one that was out on
next to TCBY
Target?
Next to TCBY.
I never went there. So it's got to go. And I guess we're keeping Miyabi's, which isn't that good, but I guess we're keeping it.
You a Miyabi's hater?
I'm not a Miyabi's hater. It's just not my favorite.
It was so good they had to make a junior version of it because people wanted to, well, they wanted to get Tokyo Grill out of business.
But. Oh, shit. Miyabi's Junior next to Walmart. That was good.
You love that white sauce. You were like, I could guzzle that white sauce, baby.
Yeah, okay. So that's nice. That's the one I'm putting in my town anyway. But I want like a standard cheaper one in my town than Benihana's. Man, I forgot about Miyabi's Junior next to Walmart.
It was all right. I went once for research.
I was going to say, that opened when we were pretty late, like either late in high school or in college.
Probably in college, yeah. The other one that I had for you that I didn't, that I ended up taking out was, I knew you liked Marshall's, so I was going to put that next to Ross and TJ Maxx.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that one, I literally was like, I wonder what Adrian will do, and I was thinking you'd do those. I'd put Ross in the town over, Marshall's in my town, TJ Maxx, gotta go. And the reason is...
Getting rid of TJ Maxx.
The reason
Ross
is...
Ross dress for less?
Marshall's is definitely the best one, but the most expensive one. And Ross is the cheapest one, but usually has the lowest quality stuff. TJ Maxx is kind of straddling an in-between point. You don't need it.
All right. All right. If you say so, I trust your judgment.
Ross's is fun to kind of explore sometimes, but it's just like, honestly, a lot of times the stuff they have is like, I don't know, just...
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
It's not as well stocked as the Marshall's.
All right. Big facts, no cap. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, big fact. Suburbia. I don't know why people are so obsessed with the idea of having a yard. What are you guys doing with that shit? It's just a square of grass.
Cooking out.
You can do that on a street. You can do that. You can do that with like a yard-ish area.
Teaching your firstborn son how to kick a soccer ball around.
You can go to the local park.
Doing yoga on a Sunday morning.
Are you not teaching your secondborn son or your firstborn daughter?
No.
Hmm.
Growing a tomato that you can eat during the summer and make a great BLT.
All I'm saying is, as a kid, we played in the street and we played in the woods. Very rarely did we use yards.
You had a nice big backyard.
Actually, we did play there a lot. I guess I was thinking front yards.
Yeah, front yard I don't care about. I feel that. Is that your big fact, or is my no cap? Do I need to wait until you do a real big fact?
That was my big fact.
My no cap is red flags. If he was raised in a suburban apartment, am I right?
Bye.
Bye.